so excited today to talk about childbirth. The entire episode of BDA Baby is all going to be about childbirth and labor and learning about all of that from someone who's very experienced in labor and childbirth, which is Teresa Palmer, because she is pregnant now with her fourth baby, I believe. So she just really has a lot of experience in the labor world. So I'm very excited to hear all about it, since I only have experience of doing that one time so far. So I am really happy you guys submitted amazing questions, and we're going to try to get to them. I'm really excited to hear about all different, all four of her different pregnancies so far. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I am so challenged when it comes to technology.
It's okay. I mean, I was very challenged prior to doing these every week, and then now I feel like I have a little bit of a hang of it, but you're all good.
I kept on saying, send requests, send requests. And I was like, your request wasn't sent. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a disaster. Thank you for figuring that out.
I figured it out. Thank God. Thank you for joining me. You're in Australia, right?
No, I'm in LA.
Oh, you're in LA?
Yeah, I'm going back to Australia. I'm heading there in about 4 weeks.
Okay.
Just to start sort of nesting and slowing down and getting ready for the baby.
I cannot believe that you're so pregnant with baby number four.
I know.
It's crazy.
Can't believe it either.
Did you always know that you wanted to have a bunch of kids? Somebody asked me that recently, and I was like, for me, it was a no-brainer. I was like, absolutely always knew I wanted to be a mom, but you're foreign, so crazy.
I'm a crazy person. Do you know what? Yes, I have been talking about having a huge gang of kids for as long as anyone remembers. I have a funny story. When I first signed, I signed with this big agency in 2007, and I was probably 19. And I walked in and I was like, hi, everyone. It's so nice to meet you. Thank you for this opportunity. I just want to let you all know that first and foremost, my priority in life is going to be a mother. And I will probably have six children. And I thought I should just like lay that out first before we get into talking about any of the acting stuff.
That's amazing.
And I remember my manager being like, oh God, what is she doing? but it's just always been in me. I think I'm so close. Well, I was so close with my darling Nana. And she had eight children, and I loved watching the way she navigated parenthood and balanced between all these amazing different personalities. And and she was just she was the matriarch of the family, and I've always been inspired by her. So I just knew I wanted a big family. I told my husband when we first met, I was like, just so you know,
this is what you're in for.
There's going to be one baby. It's going to be quite a lot.
That's amazing.
But he would probably stop. If it was up to him, I think he would be done.
Are you done after four, or are you just going to see how it goes?
I don't think so. My heart doesn't feel like this is my last pregnancy and this is my last baby.
Yeah.
However, I think for just sanity reasons, we should take a break. We should take like a few years break, and then maybe we can revisit it when I'm closer to 40. We'll pick up that conversation again. But I adore it. I love being a mummy.
Yeah.
I feel like it's my calling. It's my passion. It's hard.
I was just saying to somebody that I was talking to Sarah Wright Olson a couple of weeks ago about your guys' amazing book, and you both are such amazing hands-on moms, and it seems so natural to both of you. And I was just saying to my friend that you seem like somebody who is just born to be pregnant and to be a mother, and like that you're just so, it seems like something that's just so comfortable you to be a pregnant mom and to be, you know, raising children. It seems like something that's like very perfect for you.
I guess I just love it. And when you have a passion, that's what you should lean into. When your heart sings something to be true, that's what you follow. Mm-hmm. And from the moment I had my first baby, I was like, oh boy, here we go. Like this is my thing. This is what I love to do. And of course, like any new parent, congratulations, by the way, on your bubs. Any new parent, it's, you sort of just are thrown in the deep end and you're trying to swim and figure it all out. And you're just given this little person and then you're responsible for keeping them alive and learning about their way and what their routines are and what they like and what they don't like. So all of that was really there. And I was reading so many baby books at the time. And I realized that ultimately after about 3 weeks in, I was like, oh, none of these are actually serving me because I'm reading a book on how I should be with my own baby. And in fact, I'm just going to listen to his cues. And I'm going to see what that vibe feels like. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was sort of the game changer in terms of parenting was just like, I stopped looking at the clock and using my app and putting in every feed and I met his needs as the needs arose. Mm-hmm. And that has really sort of been like the heartbeat of my parenting journey is just being in flow, whatever it is, whatever the chaos is. I've had such a chaotic week, just sort of trying to be flexible enough to allow the craziness in, to embrace the chaos, mm-hmm. and then to let go of this idea that everything has to be regimented in a certain way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, how do you do that? Because obviously I think that that's so much easier said than done. Everybody, like, you want to be, you know, somebody, I think, especially as a new mom, who can kind of relax and go with the flow. And even during my pregnancy, I remember constantly, and we were in like the height of the pandemic, but I was constantly telling my mom, I was like, I just want to be calm. I just want to be relaxed. And it's like, you want it so badly, but then there are things you start thinking about, like this, am I hurting the baby? Did I roll over on a weird, am I on my back too much? Like there are all these things that I would think about. And a lot of the people's questions were how you remain so calm in a pregnancy and also ahead of childbirth. And you have such experience with it.
Yeah. Look, I don't think there's any easy answer to that question. I think as moms in general, we're going to be warriors. Mm-hmm. We're going to always want our babies to be okay and the pregnancy to be going fine. And there's no sort of fast rule, I think, for that. I notice that when I start getting in my head, I call it the committee, when the committee starts buzzing and I start starting, you know, the panic feeling comes up, or I notice that I'm having fear-based thinking. I try and find what works for me to recenter. And so typically that's sitting with my husband, emotionally regulating. He's amazing. He's like my therapist. and he'll sit and he'll walk me through feelings that I'm going through. And oftentimes I'll jump on Insight Timer. I'll go and do a meditation and I'll just try and recenter and just trust that everything's okay. There's a key word that we use a lot, Sarah and I, in our book too, is surrender. Mm-hmm. Sort of surrendering to the feelings, talking to them, speaking to them, not hiding them and squashing them, which I've, you know, in my younger years, I definitely had a tendency to do that. When big feelings would come up, I'd sort of squash them and keep sort of moving through my day. But now I just allow them to come out. I had a really horrible day a few days ago. My dog got in a fight with another dog and I had to break it up. And, and I noticed just physically in my body, the whole rest of the day, I was in a panic state. I was in a shock state. And, I wasn't in my body in any sense of the word. And I actually just verbalized it. I put some words to that feeling and I was like, oh, I'm feeling really afraid. I'm feeling really scared. I'm traumatized. Mm-hmm. And I did some journaling and that has actually helped me so much throughout my parenting journey. Anytime something comes up that feels too big for me, I throw it all out on paper. That's and so I try and digest it. Mm-hmm. And in terms of birth, look, it's my favorite subject to talk about. But again, I think with my first birth, I was a new parent, you know, I was a new pregnancy. I had never been pregnant before. I'd always wanted to be pregnant. So I learned as much as I could. I read all the books in all the land of all the different types of techniques, Lamar's technique. And, you know, I read all about the experience of what an epidural would be, what an emergency cesarean section would look like. I just wanted to be informed. And then when I got to my actual labor, it didn't serve me having all the information. I sort of had an expectation of how my birth should be.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that because it wasn't going to plan and my water broke before I was in labor, and then all of a sudden I'm against the clock and they're watching the clock to make sure that I'm not getting an infection, and my body wasn't going into labor. It was all the things that I hadn't read about in the books that started happening. And I controlled every aspect of that labor over 2 days. Like, how far along am I? I need the birth ball. We should move into the shower. We should do. And it was like, I was a drill sergeant and really trying to control my own experience. Mm-hmm. So ultimately I ended up with a home birth transfer at Cedars Sinai. And I, did all the things I didn't want to do.
Right.
I did have an unmedicated birth, but it was still like lying on my back, pushing from that position. I tore. I had a retained placenta, which was very painful when it was taken out. And it, all of a sudden, I was in sort of this medicated environment, but I was so happy that actually that was my experience, because it was such a gift.
Yeah.
In letting go of the expectation and just, again, surrendering to the experience. And I think it really helped me learn that whatever your birth is, however it looks, it's the birth you're supposed to have. And all you can do is observe it. If it was traumatic, like, what can you learn from the trauma? How do you treat that trauma so it doesn't sit and stay in your body and affect your parenting experience?
Right.
And like, what sort of gifts can you find in that darkness? And so, yeah, that was my first birth experience. And I was a little traumatized for the first few weeks. I burst all the capillaries on my face. I just had like so many capillaries. My eyes were bloodshot. I was so sore. I had to pee in a bucket of warm water for the first 2 weeks. My mum was with me, thank God, so she would empty this little bucket of water for me and fill it up. She's like, the water's ready for you again. Like, it was just so such like a animalistic experience.
I love the term surrender that you're using, and I think it applies to people who are, you know, maybe pregnant, trying to get pregnant, or just not even thinking about pregnancy, because just the term surrendering, you know, to things in life is so powerful and has so much meaning. And, you know, while we're on the topic of your birth experience, because I want to talk more about birth since you're such an expert in it and also love talking about it, because I also I was saying before you came on that ahead of delivering my daughter, I remember being every single night in bed, I would go on to Instagram and one of my best friends and I would just find all of these childbirth videos and I would watch them, not even to freak me out, but it actually made me so much more calm ahead of my own delivery. Cause just to see how strong women are, medicated, unmedicated, out in, you know, the woods giving birth or in a hospital, whatever the setting was, just to be able to see that. And I remember one night I was watching it and you could hear a woman, she was like, you know, really going through it and in moaning and going crazy. And I remember my husband being like, can you please turn the volume down? I don't need to be hearing that every single night. It's, you know, I want to be supportive, but she's screaming. And I was like, this is just part of it. But I was posting yesterday about, you know, talking about childbirth and talking about natural childbirth. And a lot of people had feedback about, you know, using the term natural childbirth and not associating that with medicated versus unmedicated and making the distinction between the two, because all childbirth is natural, which I totally understand. And, you know, making the separation between someone having a medicated childbirth experience versus an unmedicated one, or C-section.
Mm-hmm. Or a vaginal versus a cesarean. Yeah,
exactly. And so I thought that was really helpful actually for me to understand, just because I had always heard of it as natural childbirth. And that means that you know, had absolutely no help or medication or nothing, but that was a helpful.
Yeah. Oftentimes I do use the term natural childbirth, meaning vaginal as well, but you're right. Like birth comes in all shapes, in all colors.
Right.
And we actually, in our book, we write about all the different kinds of births you can have. I have friends who have had the most beautiful births and they've had cesarean sections. And they've had this thing called a gentle cesarean. My girlfriend, she has cesareans with her babies. And she has music playing and she has the curtain see-through so she can see her baby come out. And she said it's the most magical, most beautiful experience. And she feels so great giving birth that way. So it's also whatever you're comfortable with too. Yeah. And people have different levels of pain thresholds. I have other girlfriends who love having epidurals and they love their walking epidurals or their full epidurals. And that's the experience for them. They know exactly what they want, how their birth is going to go. Mm-hmm. And they have beautiful, healthy, amazing babies at the end of it. So I think that there's such a stigma surrounding birth and people feel pressured to have a certain kind of birth. And I certainly know that I did. I think my first time round, I had to move through shame surrounding the fact that I had a failed home birth. And I'd had so many other friends who had given birth at home before. And I was like, well, I just couldn't do it. My body just couldn't do it. And I had to move through that self-critical voice. Mm-hmm. In fact, my baby was posterior. He was in a really funky position. I've since learned how to turn a posterior baby. So I've had my last two births. They were both posterior babies, but I managed to get them into a more optimal birthing position, which was so great. So I didn't end up having any of the same issues I had in my first birth. But look, as long as your baby is healthy and you are healthy, we just advocate for informed birth. Learn about it and then let it go. So yeah. that's really my main sort of takeaway. I have sort of ideas of how to move through the intensity of birth, certain things that really helped. There are things like, you know, positions, hands and knees position. I love the hands and knees position during labor because you can rock around, you can lean on your birth ball, you can, I just feel more natural in that position. Oftentimes standing, I get really exhausted when I'm in labor standing. Mm-hmm. So hands and knees is a beautiful position. Side lying, sometimes that gives you some muscular relief, which is important. I had back labor and the side lying was really helpful first time round, and people can put sort of counter pressure on your coccyx bone, which I found really, really helpful. And then moving a lot, dancing, swaying, vocalizing.
Yeah.
I had one midwife, my American midwife, you know, the first time I gave birth, it was in America. The second two times it was in Australia. And my American midwife was mentioning that my moans, the noises that I was making during labor, she was like, you're being very guttural and you've got sort of this low moan. I was like, I'm not even really thinking about it. It's just coming out. And she was like, why don't you try with this next wave to go higher with your voice, to go sort of sweet, soft, sort of moaning, see what happens, see how that feels in your body. And then that became my go-to thing. Like everything was, and so that just like interesting ways of playing around with the voice during labor has been really, really super beneficial.
Were all three of your pregnancies so far, I know you're in your fourth right now, but what have the big differences been with each pregnancy? Because a lot of people, I think out of all the people that I have interviewed, aside from my mother who had four kids, you definitely have had, are on your fourth and have had the most experience with actually having babies. But what would you say is the biggest difference? Because I think if you had, you know, I had a really great pregnancy with my daughter and I'm so grateful because I've seen so many, you know, talk to so many people who've had really challenging experiences and not being able to feel active or to have had, you know, horror stories happen with their labor and their delivery. And they say that sometimes with the first one, if it goes really well, you think the second one's going to go the same way and it doesn't. Have all of your, I know you touched on your first one, but what have been the big differences with each experience?
I'm currently having the hardest pregnancy I've had so far.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is interesting. And I, you know, some people said that boy pregnancies are different from girl pregnancies. And that wasn't really my experience, except for this last one. I'm pregnant with another daughter. And I think maybe it's an age thing. I'm 35 now. When I was pregnant the first time, I was 27. So I've been 27, like 30 and 32, and now I'm 35. The first three were really straightforward. I loved being pregnant. I loved feeling my baby. I was sleeping really well. And I wasn't feeling very achy in my body. I was still able to exercise a fair bit, but then bam, with my fourth pregnancy, I just feel really tired. And that's probably also because I have three little ones.
I was going to say, I'm like, I'm sure that doesn't help.
Every morning. And they're so vibrant and they're so active. And so I'm just like in it with them. And oftentimes I find myself forgetting about this pregnancy until the end of the day. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm having crazy pelvic pain. Last night I was having such bad pelvic pain. I was sort of just like rolling around on the floor. Like, I don't even think I can stand up. My husband had to pull me up.
Oh my gosh.
And that might happen towards the end of my pregnancies, but I'm only 25 weeks. So I was like, wow, this is happening really early. So every pregnancy is different. Every birth is different. My experience with my second birth was such a healing, beautiful experience. And I think it's because I really looked at my first birth. I took a deep dive into all the different ways that it went. And I actually learned a bit more about optimal positioning during labor. And I was able to move my baby into a better position. And then I let go. I just said, whatever this birth is going to be, I've got through one birth already, which didn't go to plan, and I had tearing and all sorts of issues. Yeah. I'm okay. I've got this. Whatever happens, I've got this. And of course, I ended up having sort of a 3-hour water birth, totally from the very first contraction at 9 a.m. Like 3 hours later, he was in my arms. And
wow.
And in Australia, they have this option, which I love. It's called the midwifery group practice. So you sign up with a group of midwives, but they operate out of a hospital. So in fact, you can have the home birthing experience within a hospital. So the entire floor is birth center. So when you go to a hospital and you can have, I'm someone who wants to make sure that if there was anything wrong at my birth, with my baby, that I'm right there at the hospital.
Right.
I live quite far away from the hospital in Australia. I live about 40 minutes away from the hospital. So for me, home birth wasn't an option in Australia. Actually, legally, you can't home birth if you're with the group, the midwife group, if you live that far away from a hospital. So I did have it at the hospital, and my second baby ended up sort of dipping out, and he had to have resus, and he ended up in neonates, which was a neonatal ward just one floor up. So actually, wow. I'm so happy that we were there. And we were still able to leave the hospital just a few hours later, and he was fine. He just sort of went in for observation, but that was quite a shocking birth, I think, for him, because it was so fast. It was like 0 to 100 and he was out.
That sounds very fast. I mean, I don't think I've heard of somebody. You see these things on, you know, social media, or babies that come really quick in a car or when you're walking into a hospital. But I mean, doing that, and you chose to do it in a water tub.
Yeah. So I gave birth into the water, which was, for me, that's where I give birth. That is my thing now. I love it.
Oh, so the rest of, so 2 and 3, you gave birth in water and you're wanting to do that with the fourth.
And with the fourth, I will, fingers crossed, I will do that again. Yeah. And I, my midwife in Australia, I remember with my second son, I was right at the point of pushing and I could feel pressure, which is what you feel at that point. But I could feel pressure at the same spot that I tore last baby. And I told her, I was like, I don't want to tear again. Please don't let me tear again. And she was so amazing that she was like, all right, well, in this position, you could tear. But if you get on your hands and knees, like, it'll take the pressure off. So right in that moment, she helped me. She understood my body. She knew what I needed. And she taught me a very, very specific pushing method with breath, which is rather than just big pushes, a way to prevent tears. So alternating between two different breath types, which is like horsey lips.
Yeah.
And then the panting. So on one contraction, I'd do the horse lips, and on the next, I would do the panting. And I could actually feel that the baby's head was just coming down without me having to really push the baby's head out. Wow. She was like, just do that and you can do a few tiny, small little pushes and the baby will come out. And because the baby was sort of stretching that area, because I had slowed that process down so much, I didn't tear. And then the more I read into it afterwards, I was so excited because I felt, you know, a couple of hours later, like, oh my God, I feel amazing. I feel like I haven't given birth. And I did more of a deep dive into it. And Sarah and I have a whole section on preventing tearing in our book. But I realized, like, that's what I didn't do the first time around. I just blasted through that pushing. Everyone was like, push. I was like, ah, with all my might, bursting all the capillaries. I did sort of the opposite to slowing down, listening to my baby and my body. And then I've had that experience with that second baby and the third baby. And I'm hopeful that I'll have the same experience with the fourth baby. But yeah.
That's amazing. I mean, it's so interesting to hear all these different ways of, I took a hypnobirthing class. I don't know if you've heard anything about hypnobirthing.
Yes, it's amazing.
Yeah. So I did that. And it was funny because everybody was asking me, I mean, but my mom and my dad did a Lamaze class, like the old school.
Yes,
Lamaze. And then because it was so intense with COVID over the summer, you weren't able to do birthing classes. And since it was a first for me, I wanted to be able to feel prepared. So I would listen to audiobooks and I was reading this hypnobirthing class. And then Chris and I were able to do hypnobirthing class on Zoom, which was awesome. But it was that same kind of breathing that I was taught, which was such a, you know, you watch movies, of course, and it's this dramatic, like the first one, which is like, just push it out, you know, and then you,
yeah.
And it's just incredible how you can, you know, really just it doing something that simple. And I think the whole tearing thing, which is so great that it's in your book, which is why I tell everybody to buy your book that's either had a baby or about to become a baby, about to become a mom and have a baby or even thinking of it, because the tearing thing, I feel like for women is something that every woman, it's like the first thing that comes to mind as being the most traumatizing thing that could happen with.
Yes. That and pooping.
Yeah.
Women are always afraid of the pooping.
Yeah, it is. It's a big thing. And there were all of these, I remember all talking to all my girlfriends, like, how do you prevent that? How do you make that not happen? So it is, it's a big topic, and the breathing thing sounds like it really helped with the tearing.
Yeah. I just didn't know any of that in the first birth. I didn't specifically focus on preventing tearing, but there's a really great on YouTube. If you type in Ina May Gaskin, who's like the guru of all midwife gurus. Yeah, she's the queen that we all love. She actually does a seminar on it, and it's a really cool video because someone sort of filmed it on a phone. So it looks like an amateur video, but you have to kind of listen in because there's babies crying and she's not really talking to the video. But I'm so glad someone filmed it because the way she breaks down preventing tearing, I just took all that information and I used it for my second birth. And it was so healing to come out of that birth knowing that, oh, wow, I actively made the choice to slow down when you, all you want at that moment is for your baby to come out.
Yeah.
You're so exhausted. You've been through it and you're right there and you know you're about to meet your baby. So of course you just want to do anything to get your baby out. But I really, and she talks about holding when the babies come, the heads come out, really helping the head come out really slowly and helping sort of ease the head out, which is so beautiful. I think my midwife, Julie Schiller, she doesn't touch me during that time at all. She just lets me do my thing. She offers encouraging words. And then like once the baby's out, you know, I do all the things that, you know, we talk about it in the book where, you know, delayed cord clamping and skin on skin straight away. And we don't rub the vernix off the baby. We let all that goodness go into the skin, all those things. But she'll just like let the baby, she'll just have us stay in the bath and I'll have the baby on me and just with her or him connecting with my little person. And I really love that about the midwifery care that I've received. But there are so many great doctors, And I would say to women out there who are pregnant, just make sure that your care provider listens to you and that you can really advocate for yourself and talk about the kinds of desires that you want for your birth outcome. If you want dim lighting, if you want a photographer, talk about it. If you want to bring your doula, ask those questions well in advance, because if you don't feel connected, like you have a true connection with your care provider and that they are listening to your preferences, then you need to switch care providers. And there are so many amazing doctors out there. Sarah Wright Olson, who I wrote the book with, she has an amazing doctor in LA, Dr. Jay Goldberg, who really advocates for like whatever birth the mother wants, like he's there for it.
Right.
And if you don't want a birth lying down, that's fine. He'll be in the squat position helping you birth your baby. So you just know what you want, do the research, talk to your friends, watch all the videos, like exactly what you did. And you can write out your birth plan. You can, I do a lot of journaling about what my birth looks like. I'll write out very specifically how my birth goes or my dream birth. I usually write that around 36, 37 weeks just so I put my intentions out there and then let it go.
What is something that you would say, like a piece of advice that you would give to people who might be pregnant or having another baby or, you know, having one in the future that you wish you had known ahead of your first pregnancy or just having your brood of children? What is like one thing that you wish you had known?
Your mama instincts are so strong and they're there and they do kick in. And I think that you will hear many, many stories from very well-intentioned friends and family members about how their birth went. And you might start hearing horror stories. Oh gosh, the first few weeks were a nightmare. I wasn't sleeping, or birth is horrendous, or it's so hard. It's the worst thing I've ever been through. It's the worst pain. All of those sort of that language can have such an impact on you. And I was listening to 20, 30 different people telling me about how their birth went. And I ended up having to do a fear clearing right before my first birth.
Because what's that?
Basically, it was, I sat with a woman who was almost like a therapist, but specifically for birth. And we went through my fears and we sort of broke them down one by one individually to work through all the big feelings that were coming up and sort of tracing them back to where they were triggered. Where did they come from? And what I realized was that those last few weeks of my pregnancy, like I actually just needed to create a sacred boundary around me where I wasn't taking on all these other experiences from people because it really can set you up for failed expectations because you think, well, in Emily's birth, this is what happened with her. And so that's going to happen to me or so-and-so tore and I shouldn't be doing this or I shouldn't be doing that. And if I do that, I will get an episiotomy, whatever it is, whatever the story is. You just have to liberate yourself from other people's experiences. And I wish I could go back to myself and just like put up loving boundaries and say like, look, thank you so much for sharing that. Like right now I'm really trying to focus on like doing my own work surrounding birth and doing my own, you know, my own intel, looking at birth videos and reading stories, but I really appreciate you sharing your experience. I'm sorry that was so hard for you, but like setting a loving boundary, because I think it's really, really important, especially as a first time mommy.
Yeah. No, I think that that's such a great piece of advice. And it was definitely something that when I was reading the hypnobirthing class and also the Ina May Gaskin, it's amazing to hear all of these incredible birth stories, but you oftentimes hear the terrible or traumatizing ones. And then you're left there and you're like, I don't have an option about getting this baby out. So this is going to have to do, but I like the idea of doing like a reset with releasing your fears, and being able to get yourself in a place where you're, again, surrendering to this experience and also knowing that just because someone had a terrible experience doesn't mean that's going to happen to you.
100%.
Yeah. So I think that's so beautiful. I'm so grateful that you came on here. I'm like, the next time that I'm pregnant, I'm going to need to learn everything from you because it's so informative and it seems like it's just such a beautiful experience, and everything that you're talking about. And also your book is just your guys' book. I was saying to Sarah, it's such a beautifully done book just to look at and to have out. And then also just the information inside as someone who just had a baby and hopes to have more, just to be able to have all that information in one book is so incredibly helpful. And I know will help so many people who are on a journey like we're all on. So thank you, Catherine.
And thank you for what you do. I think it's so beautiful. BDA baby.
Oh, thank you.
It's so inspiring. Thank you for having me. And thank you to everyone who joined us.
I know. Thank you. And good luck on the rest of your pregnancy. I'm so excited for you. And I'm happy you're going to go back to Australia and have that same kind of experience. I think that's it. I hope that one day our hospitals here will be able to kind of catch on to really all of the amazing, you know, mommy world that's going on in Australia, I think is incredible. So I'm glad that we're all
here. Yeah, me too. All right. So much love.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, guys.